Kenny Blumenfeld is with me as per usual to talk about weather and climate and today seasons. So thanks for being here, Kenny.
Oh, I'm always happy to be here.
You are. And I'll just got to tell you, we did have a very cold and sunny week. So that felt pretty nice to people who like lots of beautiful white snow everywhere. And we hear there's a big warm up coming. And what do you want to talk about today?
Yeah. Well, a couple things. One is, it was really cold. We had temperatures into the negative 30s in northeast Minnesota. it's really cold, and we're going to get warmer, which is nice. I think people are happy about that. We had a really interesting question from one of our users this week, and so I just want to put some of that sort of coldness and warmth into perspective. We had someone ask what the largest 1 week or 7 day temperature change was. Now that's kind of a tough anywhere in the state. That's a tough question. We actually keep records, and the largest 1 day or 24 hour temperature change is an official record that climate offices across the country have to keep. And so we knew that one. That's from Net Lake, also kind of northern northeastern Minnesota. From 1970, the 1 day temperature change was 72 degrees. It went from, went from negative 37, negative 35 up to 37 degrees in one calendar or observation day.
Okay.
That's a huge change. I mean, that is, basically going from one of the coldest nights of the season to, abnormally warm and that was in February of 1970. But the biggest 1 week temperature change is 108 degrees. That's the biggest one we could find. It was Tower, Minnesota, between February 2nd and February 8th of 1996. The temperature hit an all-time statewide overnight low temperature record of negative 60, and within a week, it was 48 degrees. We can't find anything even close to that.
Wow.
So that was kind of a fun.
That is kind of fun. Is it any coincidence that those are both in northern Minnesota, where maybe the temperatures drop lower?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. There would be some edge, maybe. I had thought maybe there would be an edge to western Minnesota, where the temperatures tend to get higher and they can still get pretty cold. But I mean, this is a runaway value. We don't see anything, even from that same day in other stations, that same week in other stations, we just don't see anything even close. So, pretty neat. Yeah, so I thought we'd talk a little bit about there isn't any huge, there's a warm-up coming, but it's not a unusual warm-up. It's not particularly newsy. Temperatures are going to be above freezing from basically the weekend into next week. We're going to melt some snow, probably start getting that spring fog because, you melt that snow during the day, you put water into the lower atmosphere, and then it cools down at night. Fog is often part of that. You need calm winds or no winds. And so I'm not positive if we're going to get that fog, but we're entering that season of the kind of snow melt related fog, especially in the areas that actually have snow. But one question we've gotten a lot is, we get this, this happens all the time. You get into some kind of pattern, and the pattern is sort of like maybe tolerable but frustrating in one season.
Yeah.
But if you were to extrapolate it into the next season, it would be very concerning. So the example this year is the lack of snow and the lack of precipitation in general. I mean, most of Minnesota is basically behind on snowfall by 40, 50, 60%. I mean, it's pretty big. Even if you have snow on the ground, it's kind of a low snow season.
Right.
And of course that makes people concerned about drought. And, and they're more concerned about drought once you get into the growing season, which is kind of the next one up. It's the one that's on deck, right? Basically you go through a short spring, and by May, things are growing, and your growing season in Minnesota is basically May through September. So people are concerned about that. And, you know, we can't, we don't necessarily have any basis for saying, well, no, you shouldn't be concerned, or yes, you definitely should. I mean, we look at what, where we are right now, we're behind on precipitation. We've had less than is normal for the whole season across the whole state. So what that means is that the normal amount of recharge that goes into the soil is low. So that those concerns could be warranted for sure. But historically, there's no evidence really that a dry winter means a dry growing season. And in fact, just to give a few recent examples, you know, we had this huge winter. Well, look at last year, actually. Last year we had a dry winter, and then we had, by June, you know,
right,
people were bailing water out of their basements and paddling down the street. And the year prior to that, we had statewide flooding, meaning all the streams and rivers were flooding from snowmelt in the spring because we had record snows in many areas. And then the spigot really turned off slightly later than that snowmelt. I mean, by yeah, May, we basically ran out of precipitation and went into statewide drought by the end of summer. So it, so just anecdotally, you can't go from, you can't just project one season to the next. But I wanted to talk a little bit about like the physical reasons why that is, and to try and do it in kind of a, an intuitive way. So I thought we could start with the big lake right outside your door. Everyone in Two Harbors who's lived there for any amount of time knows that, you know, Lake Superior kind of moderates the climate, right?
Right.
Right. In the wintertime, I mean, it's not pleasant when the wind blows off the open water in the wintertime, but that has a warming effect relative
right
to if the lake hadn't been there or if the wind were blowing from a different direction. It's because the lake stays warmer than the land, but that's only in the winter. In the summertime, it's an opposite effect.
Right.
Now, you know, this creates something kind of, I mean, you've probably heard the term, creates a microclimate. You take the kind of normal climate conditions that are in the region and you have this sort of localized scale variation from that. It's not super dramatic. It just means that the areas that are close to the influence of the lake, they tend to be a little bit warmer in the winter, a little bit cooler in the summer, and they definitely get more precipitation on average than areas that are farther inland and that, you know, and certainly more precipitation than we would have if, say, Lake Superior weren't there. Well, that's a microclimate. It affects the areas around not just Lake Superior, but the other Great Lakes. But it has sort of a limited impact regionally. You don't, you know, there aren't, you won't hear many stories about, you know, moisture off of Lake Superior causing snow in North Dakota or anything like that. It's unusual for its influence to extend that far.
Right.
And as you go to smaller lakes, you'd have less of an influence. But now think about the ocean. So the ocean actually does the same thing. It's the properties of water and the way it's different from land that really control some of the variations in our climate. So just imagine, you know, in the wintertime right now, the Pacific Ocean, the whole Pacific Ocean in the Northern Hemisphere, the water temperatures are on average higher than the land temperatures at the same latitude.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the land cools faster than the water is effectively warmer, even though, you know, on our side of the Pacific Ocean, they get cold. They're in a cold part of the circulation. Opposite happens in the summertime, and the ocean does not warm nearly as quickly as the land. So you get this huge spike in heat over the land. Now, just imagine weather systems are passing over this gigantic ocean and then they pass over the land. And they bring, you know, the character of the air masses over the ocean are shaped by the water temperatures. And so you really switch patterns as you go from winter to summer. And then, of course, your transition seasons are spring and fall in between that just sort of kind of get you there. And so as you, you know, the fact that right now we're in a period where this huge body of water is essentially warmer than the continental land masses, that really affects the climate. That affects the way that the jet stream behaves. That affects the way that our weather systems move. And then as we get into summer, it completely switches. And so those facts kind of make it almost impossible to get season-to-season continuity in our climate. I mean, sometimes we do, but the huge changes in the kind of the relationship between the oceans and the land over time, as the seasons change, that really governs weather patterns, and it governs weather pattern changes. And back in meteorology classes, we learn about, you know, how many waves are in the system and like the length of the waves and all of these kind of complicated physical things. But the fact is that it's very hard to go from summer to winter without dramatically reconfiguring the atmospheric flow pattern, meaning where weather systems come from, where they go, how they behave, and all of that. And as a result, it's unusual. It's not uncommon, but it's unusual. I mean, we've had it happen before, but it's not common to have, you know, the exact same pattern just persists season after season after season. So usually a wet pattern that you have in one season will break as you switch into the next season, or vice versa. You get into a dry pattern and it begins to break with this changing of the season. So that's why it's really hard. I mean, we can get some tips from El Nino and La Nina and other big things in the system that might give us some insights about the coming seasons. But the one thing that we know is, especially lacking those, there's a kind of an unpredictable reconfiguration of the flow pattern that is, you know, approaching. So we cannot extrapolate our dry winter into a dry summer. We might have a dry summer, but it wouldn't necessarily be because we had a dry winter. I hope that makes sense.
I think I get it. It's sort of like every twice a year, the coin flips with a pretty much total reset.
That's a great way to put it.
So thank you so much. We don't have time to to field questions about this, but I feel like that was a very succinct explanation, and I suspect there will be chat about this in Two Harbors this week. So thanks again.
That's good. Well, glad to help. Yeah, it's like a condensed, basically three kind of undergraduate meteorology lectures into 5 minutes. So,
yeah. Great. Well, all right. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again, Kenny.
All right. Thanks. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the warmer weather.
You as well. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks.